Hey friends, welcome to episode 181 of Fit Friends Happy Hour. I'm your host, Katie, and this episode is for you if you are a person who maybe likes to figure things out on your own. Maybe you are really truly at a good place as far as your relationship goes with food, exercise, and your body. Maybe you identify as an intuitive eater and you're ready to step further into that gentle nutrition stage. I know you hear me talk a lot on Instagram and the podcast about deleting my fitness pal and stopping macro counting, which is why I'm so excited for you to listen to today's interview. Today, I talk with a trusted friend and colleague in this field, someone who has taught me so much about how to be a next level coach and businesswoman and a countercultural dietitian in this field. We talk about how it is possible to get to a place where numbers are just numbers and you can look at nutrition information and education as just that, education. It's so important for me to have conversations with other professionals with different approaches because I believe we have so much that we can learn from each other and there's room for everyone. And it allows us to create and cultivate that growth mindset when it comes to our thoughts, our beliefs, and our actions around our health. Emily Field is a registered dietitian who teaches a mindful macros approach to help women ditch nonsense food rules and depriving diet behaviors for good. Her clients are finding it liberating to focus on how much they can do instead of how much they weigh when they fuel and support their body appropriately. Emily truly has a way with words, and with educating women on a flexible, fluid approach is truly her zone of genius. All right, on to the show. Welcome to Fit Friends Happy Hour, a podcast about all things nutrition, fitness, and life in your 20s and 30s, all from a non-diet lens. I'm your host, Katie Hake, and I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist and certified personal trainer. Join me here every week as I talk with interesting people and experts from all walks of life about their relationship with food, exercise, and their bodies. I am on a mission to help you redefine the word fit, to help you stop quantifying and start living. Learn to stop measuring your success by the scale and find your fears. Emily, so excited to have you here. I obviously know a lot about you. We've met, oh my gosh, it's been a few months now. And I'm so excited to talk about all the topics we're going to talk about today. But tell our audience a little bit about yourself, your story with food and fitness.
Sure. Well, like you said, my name's Emily. I'm a registered dietitian, and I would call myself a macros expert by this point. I've been working in my own private practice for about the last 5 years, which feels crazy that that's the milestone now. But I started working in this private practice through CrossFit Gym, my CrossFit Gym in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and kind of branched from there to be able to serve clients exclusively online, which is such a blessing. I always tell people that the internet is like my front door. Instagram is like my front door to my business. And I'm so lucky to be able to put out a message and invite people in that really resonate with that. And then just, you know, kind of like keep that cycle going of my ideal clients. Where it comes from, like, I'm just trying to, you asked me like, how did I get started or like my journey? It really did. I always knew that I wanted to work in prevention. And I always thought like the food piece was just like the perfect way to work in prevention. And I knew that like nutrition and psychology were completely related. So college, I graduated with a nutrition degree and a psychology minor and proceeded to jump through all the hoops to become a registered dietitian. But I don't know if you felt this way, but when I was in my internship, to become a dietitian, which is the last step you need before you sit for an exam and get your license, you tour and work with a number of dietitians in different fields to kind of get a feel for what you would like to be doing. Like none of the dietitians were working in jobs that I saw myself in. So I was really struggling there in my early 20s to kind of get my footing and figure out what area or what niche of nutrition I wanted to work in. So I prolonged school. I got my master's. I delayed that decision for a long time. And what revealed itself was just that coaching, that like personal one-on-one relationship, that health behavior change model, like I was not witness to during the internship. So it took a health coaching job, a wellness coaching job, and working with my CrossFit gym to realize that I could create a business out of this and work for myself. And so I created my job from there, my dream job.
That's so funny that you say that about your internship, because I had a similar experience too. And I think you and I
we're very similar minded in just our background. We spend a lot of time in the gym and things like that. But I was like, you have just, I don't know what they're doing, but I just know I don't want to do that. And I don't, not really sure what this private practice looks like. So you got into CrossFit, but tell us a little bit more about your personal journey with fitness and with food. And did you always know that it was going to be a macros approach? Because that's not necessarily a style of coaching that we learn in undergrad.
No, you're right. And actually, you know, I was kind of like the girl that got all the participation awards in school when I was in sports. So I was never like truly the talented one, but I tried the hardest. I was like always the most improved because I like when I put my mind to something, I just really want to be great at it. I mean, that's my type 3 Enneagram there. I'm an achiever. So yeah. I did swimming. I was a synchronized swimming for a long time. And then I did volleyball throughout high school. And then a lot of that stuff died in college. We did intramurals and stuff like that, but a lot of it died after college. So I was kind of lost with when it came to my fitness. And what I realized was until I stepped foot, I mean, I was doing the whole like treadmill, elliptical thing throughout college. And after I signed up for a couple of races, like marathon, like I did a half marathon and then just swore I would never do anything longer than that in my mid 20s. But it wasn't until maybe 26, 27 when I stepped into a CrossFit gym that I realized like a huge part of my life was missing. And that was that competitive aspect. So not just necessarily like competing against someone else, but competing against yourself. And like to have a style of workout where you're actually throwing around weight and like you're applauded for taking up space and you're applauded for how strong you are. And there's no real way to be excellent at everything in CrossFit. There's always a place to improve on. That was just like fuel for my soul. That was so awesome. And it just like woke up a really, really dormant part of my personality. So I'm not sure if you resonate with that, but like I find that a lot of my clients are innately competitive and they like love that about themselves. But in the adult world, there's not really a like constructive place to put that energy. And for me, CrossFit has been, and I guess like Orange Theory and a couple of other functional fitness gyms might be able to like meet that need for people, but CrossFit is it for me.
I love that. So talking a little bit about CrossFit, obviously CrossFit's been around for a while. I think in, you know, the consumer eyes, there's these pros and cons, right? And especially when it comes to nutrition, right? You see a lot of coaches that aren't necessarily dietitians. So tell us a little bit more about your approach to macros and how it's maybe similar or countercultural to, you know, that stereotype that people think of.
Yeah, I mean, I love that. Like, I'm in two worlds that people have some very strong views on. So macros being one and CrossFit being the other. And just, I just want to preface this by saying that just like you might have an amazing doctor, there are tons of terrible doctors out there. And just like you might see a great dietitian, there are probably tons of terrible dietitians out there. There are great and not so great professionals in every single field. And so the way that you experience CrossFit and the way that you might experience macros depends on who's teaching it and where you're getting that messaging from. So if we can strip that away and recognize it, that if we can kind of take like a newbie sort of blind lens to either of them, hopefully we can change that perspective a little bit. But yeah, so macro tracking is the idea that you might log and track the amount of protein, fat, and carbohydrate that you eat. And the goal is to eat as much as your body needs or manipulate those macros in a way that produces specific results, whether that's for health goals, body composition goals, or athletic performance goals. And as an approach, it's completely neutral. What ends up happening is people will bastardize that approach in order to make it feel like it's very restrictive. It is like a template to follow, like the I don't know, like a prescription. You can't deviate from the plan. A lot of people might bastardize it in a way where like it becomes all about the numbers and not about the food quality. So yeah, it really just comes down to who you're listening to and who has taught you it and what lens or like framework or perspective they're coming from. Similarly, CrossFit. CrossFit is a franchise. So every single gym has a different look and feel. So I urge you, if you've had a bad experience at CrossFit, it might be the gym, it might be the coaches, it might be that culture. And not every single gym is exactly the same. I've had my experiences with three different gyms, and I'd say that two of them were not great. So I was fortunate enough to be able to kind of pick and choose where I could go. And the gym that I'm at right now is, you know, is my happy place. And like low injury or no injury, very focused on like form and movement. It's very non-competitive, but only competitive when you want it to be. Like those are the things I'm looking for. So
I love just how you say, I think, I don't know, I've read this somewhere or you said this to me, but how your approach is like mindful macros, right? Because a lot of my listeners listening are probably like, Katie, what the heck? You always say, you know, don't do macros, things like that. But I do believe that there's a time and a place. And if you are that type of person that's competitive, you know, you want to get faster, you want to get stronger, nutrition can be a tool for that. So from your experience, and maybe this was part of how your practice evolved, how have you seen this tool specifically do both harm and help? And anybody listening, you have to go follow Emily on Instagram. We'll link her up in the show notes. But I think of like your silly and your smart posts where you talk about how people just aren't using it correctly and take that negative approach.
Yeah, I think in the wrong hands, it can be, well, and I would say the same thing with intuitive eating and health at every size. Like in the wrong hands, it might look and feel a different way than it was meant to. And the same thing goes with macros. So I see, I guess the way that it evolved is, you know, I taught people how, like in my coaching, I taught people how to make a plate that had a balanced amount of protein, fat, and carbs. So a lot of this was nutrition education, teaching people what foods have protein, what foods have fat, and what foods have carbs, getting the quality of their food, the nutrient richness of their food up. Then the most natural follow-up couple questions is regarding amounts. The next curious few questions are, okay, I got this down. What's next? You know, how much protein, how much fat, and how much carb. And that is how the macros approach evolved for me in my practice. I just got comfortable with trying to teach people about, you know, the size of your, the palm of your hand and like the size of
education.
Education.
Yeah.
But that doesn't necessarily translate to all foods. We know that when we sit down to eat meals, like a mixed meal doesn't always look like a pretty like palm sized portion of protein or like a finger thickness of butter or nut butter or something like that.
A deck of cards.
A deck of cards, a tennis ball. So in the real world, sometimes tracking macros and maybe scanning barcodes or using a food diary and things like that, it becomes a lot more tangible to understand how much you're eating and then just make sure that you're eating enough to support the things that you want to be doing. And most of my clients are probably like yours. They are active and they want that hour a day, that like an hour and a half a day that they look forward to every single day. And they want to optimize that time and they want to optimize like fueling for that because that makes like their whole day better. So I think a macros approach can absolutely help them do that because they can feel better, they can recover faster, they can do more, they can excel more. And I just think that that's like at the core, that's where we're going with it.
Yeah. You mentioned kind of this under eating. And so when clients come to you, what are some of the things that they really struggle with, you know, that gets them to the point with you? And, you know, I imagine our clients are the same. Like, for example, I have a lot of clients who come to me seeking one thing, and then it ends up kind of evolving as they actually learn what that process looks like.
Yeah. So the common things that I'll see are some hormonal issues, whether or not they realize they are. So like their periods are a little wonky. They have a lot of PMS. They have night sweats. They're not sleeping great. They are fantasizing about food, they're hungry, or maybe they're not recognizing their hunger and it shows up like anxiety or irritability and low resiliency, like not inability to handle stress. Like all of these things can be like a sign and symptom of not eating enough, which is kind of crazy for some people to recognize. You're not excelling in your sport. You're not able to push harder or go longer or increase your weights as you might expect to in your, like in your training. So you're being like kind of held back. I would say that that's fairly common. You know, if somebody is tracking their weight or their body composition, maybe they are working out a lot and they're quote unquote doing all the right things, but not seeing fat loss or lean muscle gain or weight loss or weight gain in some cases. And that is, you know, because they're under eating or overtraining or a mix of both.
Yeah. And, you know, where I see clients, at least for my approach, using this approach is when they can get to this place where they, and maybe the two can go, you know, hand in hand, where they get to this place where they can look at those numbers as neutral. So from your experience, do you see people transform kind of how they look at macros and how they look at food as this is just a tool to get me towards those goals, to help fuel me in that different lens, especially with eating more. I know that's such a challenge for many women, getting over that fear of, well, I'm going to gain weight. I'm just going to get larger and larger if I just eat more.
So for the person that's kind of the DIYer, let's just say, like, they just need the numbers and the expertise. Let's say my team sets their macro targets for them. Sometimes that's all they need to be like, have permission to eat more, because all the messaging out there is telling them to eat less to achieve their goals. So sometimes like a DIYer is like, great, check mark. I can do this on my own. I am like seeing food as neutral. I know I need to hit these goals or more, because a lot of times I tell people to hit macro minimums. This is a minimum amount of food that you need to function every day. And beyond that, you're good. But other people, like you said, require a little bit more coaching. So when it comes down, like, you know, you're not a DIYer when you do this, you start tracking macros and you still struggle with like an all or nothing mindset. If I don't hit this on the nose, I'm a failure, or I'm afraid to eat more. I know I need to, but I'm afraid. I'm still labeling foods as good or bad. There is a perfect macro day and there's an imperfect macro day. There's like only some foods that I'll eat and others that I won't. Like, this requires more heavy lifting, and that would be a time to invest in a coach. So absolutely, you can use this approach on your own. You can DIY your own macros. And if you're in a great sound mind, like, you can absolutely do this on your own. But the few clients I do choose to work with are struggling with a little bit more than that. And it goes a little bit deeper than that. And that's what we're here for.
Yeah. I think for people to listening, to recognize that that's what coaches are for. And that's why it's so important to work with somebody who's an expert in their wheelhouse, who can recognize that's not normal. You don't have to feel that way or have this experience, whether it's killing yourself in the gym or having that negative relationship with food, in order to achieve your goals.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Psst. It's me, Katie. And in case you haven't already noticed, I kind of care about you getting results. Now, I'm not talking about results as far as body fat composition or the number on the scale, but I'm talking about implementing the things that you are learning here each and every week. Head on over to Facebook and just search Fit Friends Tribe to request to join our group. This is a free Facebook community where we talk about the podcast episodes each week, and I give you action steps on how to implement what it is that we talked about, so that you're not just listening, learning, and absorbing information, but you're part of that top percent, that top 2% that actually takes action and changes their life. So facebook.com, search Fit Friends Tribe. I'm going to ask you a few questions to make sure you're not some weirdo from Antarctica, and we'll let you in. See you there. All right, back to the show. What are some of the common mistakes, I guess, then, that maybe you see people using macros? Like, what are some of the mistakes, common mistakes that people do when they start implementing this approach?
So number one thing that I would say is the biggest mistake people make is that they think they need to be perfect to make it work, or that there's a perfect macro prescription or targets that you need to hit in order to make it work. That's absolutely not true. We know that the science lies in actually tracking your food. Like, if you just take some time to track your food or log your food in a diary, that mindfulness piece will change your body. It will change the way that you feel. You'll become more aware. That is never a bad thing. So thinking that this is the end all be all, you're going to see, you know, immediate results just if you hit your macros on target. That's diet culture telling you that there's a right way and wrong way to eat. And I hate when macros gets wrapped up in that, because that's all on the person. That's all on their perspective and how they're using that macros approach. Macros is neutral. Macros exist whether or not you want them to. Like, they are what makes up our food, the protein, fat, and carb and calories. But no, just simply tracking your food and even just getting close will produce results. Even if you're not close, it's going to do something for you. It's going to increase your awareness. It's going to help you tune into, how did that meal make me feel? Or, you know, I definitely underate what I think I was supposed to eat today, and I really feel it. And this is how it's showing up for me. So none of that can be bad. Yeah. I would say the other big mistake that people make when they first start tracking is that they give up really early. So they think that something is supposed to, they're used to this. You know, you start a keto diet, you start like cutting out a food group, like, you drastically change your eating pattern in a way, you're going to see results very quickly. And then you're not going to see results because you're going to plateau, or you're going to feel miserable, you're going to binge, something like that. It's called the rebound, the diet cycle. So they kind of take that same mentality. They kind of think something magical is supposed to happen right away. But no, this isn't a diet. This is eating to your body's needs. This is eating as much as you're supposed to. Retraining your brain about what the appropriate portion size is for you as an active person. So they give up pretty early because they think that something drastic is supposed to happen. But this is the long haul. This is the long game. This is you learning about how to shape meals that are appropriate for you. And yeah, like doing this for a matter of weeks and months because you enjoy it, not because it's a diet.
Yeah. So to kind of piggyback off that, how do you see, I would love your perspective on how you see the integration between a macros approach and intuitive eating?
So I think, so my personal perspective is that people do not know how much to eat because it's been warped by diet culture. It's been warped by, you know, media. We simply do not know how much. We don't know how to tune into our hunger and fullness cues. We label foods as good and bad, like, you know, the whole nine. Because we have such a warped vision of what, how much is supposed to be, we're supposed to be eating, a macros approach can like retune that. And if you spend a few months really getting good at eating as much as your body needs, you're going to have a very clear picture of how you're supposed to feel and how you're supposed to perform. Once I start helping people recognize, like, oh, this is what full feels like. This is what not satisfied. This is what cravings feel like. This is what it feels like to be fully recovered from my workouts. Then after a few months of really diving into that, I transition my clients to more intuitive eating, which is stepping away from the tracker. It's eating your favorite foods in the balance that you're used to because you've been tracking for so long. You know what it looks like on your plate. You know what it looks like to feed yourself. You know what it feels like to overeat. You know what it feels like to undereat. And so they can confidently transition into more intuitive eating where they're not tracking every single day.
Yeah. And where there's no judgment there, there's no judgment. And I just love, you have such a way with words and just explaining things. I just love talking to you because you, it's flexible and it can be a tool. And I see the value in it, especially, like I said, when you've got goals, you know, it's okay. Because like you said, there is the side of intuitive eating that, like with everything, there's all these ends of the spectrum and it's really individual. So I have another question too about like body image. How do you see that show up with women in particular? Let's say, you know, they have certain needs that they're not meeting, right? They're not eating to their certain needs, or their body, you know, they end up seeing like, maybe my body is not supposed to be a certain size that I thought it was going to be. How do you handle that? And also, I didn't know that you had a minor in psychology. That's so awesome.
Yeah, no, and then a master's in public health, which my emphasis is on health behavior change. I'm obsessed with why some people are able to change.
So much makes sense about you now. I get it.
Well, I guess I'll say that like body image issues show up for like 100% of the population. So it doesn't matter if you are, you know, in the intuitive eating camp or macro tracking camp or no camp because you just don't have any food issues. Like body image stuff happens to everyone. And I guess I coach my clients first and foremost in normalizing that, saying like bad body image days are going to happen to literally everyone. It's going to happen to Angelina Jolie and to Brad Pitt. Like it happens to everyone. So if we normalize that and just think it's the same, I guess I like to use the analogy too. Like sometimes people in relationships or their personal lives chase happy. Happy is a fleeting emotion. Same thing as good body image days. There are going to be days like we need to stop chasing happy and we need to stop chasing this ideal of having good body image days every single day. I think if we normalize that, then the pressure releases on, okay, this diet or macro tracking or intuitive eating, whatever it might be, is going to change the way that I feel about my body 100% of the days, because that's not true. So if we normalize that, which is from expert coaching and having conversations with our clients, we can have a more constructive conversation around what shape and size and maybe weight does my body really want to be at? And it's possible that we have an ideal in our head that's not appropriate for happy hormones, a healthy metabolism, you know, and just like thriving in your everyday life. So that again, like there are DIYers of both of our approaches, but where you might need some extra help is in that arena where you can't let that go. where you like get the concept of macro tracking and you're like kind of on board with it, but for whatever reason, you're still stuck in the mindset that smaller is better, leaner is better, you know, a certain weight is better than where you are right now, even if it means sacrificing feeling great, sleeping great, good hormones, you know, a healthy metabolism and all that.
Yeah, I love that you said how bad body image days are normal. I had this epiphany semi-recently working with clients and really realizing like, just like food and nutrition, are about it's fluid, it's changing. And I love that comparison to happy because it's so true. That's part of life. Yeah. But diet culture makes us believe that you're going to achieve, you're going to check, become an intuitive eater. You're going to check, become, you know, X, Y, Z. And the reality is it's a foundation, it's a baseline, and it can evolve.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the goal would be that you might have a bad body image day, but it doesn't change how you act in that day.
That's huge.
Or you have you possess the tools to change that mind frame around. Like, you know how to self-soothe yourself out of that. Mm-hmm. The goal would be that you feel neutral about it. You're like, yeah, this is just not a great day. This is not, I don't feel awesome in my body today. But it's like, I teach my clients that it's like clouds floating across the sky. Like, you can see them, but we don't have to shape them. We don't have to name them. We don't have to like focus on them. We can just let them pass through. And it's just like fleeting thoughts. We can just let it pass through. We'd be like, huh, that's cool. And then just leave it alone.
Interesting. Goodbye.
Yeah.
I love that analogy.
Mm-hmm.
So do you ever find clients that you get start working together and you go pump the brakes? We've got other things to address before we dive deeper. It sounds to me like you do a lot of work as far as like the education piece that helps them grow through that though.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just because I'm a macros expert and I take a macros approach with my clients, we're never just solely talking about that. So it's not just like, rah, rah, here's your numbers, peace out, I'll check your diary every week. It's absolutely more than that.
I think that's a red flag though. Would you say though, yeah, that's a red flag though, if somebody is working with somebody or they've done this approach before, if somebody just gives you that and says, good luck, bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. And that's why even with like my one-off service of getting personalized macros, like I won't send your numbers and leave you there. I give you a lot of justification for why your numbers are set where they are. And I'll also tell you if there's any outstanding health or mindset issues that you should be aware of. It's not a lot of coaching, but I will never offer a service where it's just like, wham, bam, here's your numbers, peace out. Because that's not...
You assess people. It's not a it's not a calculator like they have on the internet of just punching the numbers. You actually do a full assessment.
Yep. And that's, you know, as a dietitian, that's what we went to school for. So it'd be kind of a disservice if I wasn't using my skills and like, you know, all the experience that I have, not transfer that to them.
Yeah. I love that. So last question, and this has been so good, so much good information today. If you had to give somebody just a few quick tips on how they can start to move away from that all or nothing mentality, whether they've started macros or maybe they've kind of evolved in that intuitive eating approach and they're ready to set fitness goals that aren't necessarily attached to weight, right? They're attached more to performance and they feel like they're in a good space. How can you help them to continue to move away from the all or nothing mentality?
I think it takes a daily training. I think it's like anytime you open your diary, it's thinking about, I need to eat enough. I need to eat up to these goals. It starts with the mindset and the frame of mind of where you are when you even start to track. And when you actually get done to tangible tracking of your macros or tracking of your food in general, I would start with just protein or ranges of macros instead of actual targets. Like knowing that if you hit up or down 10 grams, let's say, of protein, fat, and carb of your, you know, your targets that you've gotten or like what you think you need, that will be enough to start. So the all or nothing mindset would say, if you hear that monster kind of coming up for you, would say, I got to be perfect. Oh no, I've already failed. I might as well just give up. I'm going to start over tomorrow. There is so much power. Like I said, there's so much power in simply logging your food. So a very first step would probably be to track your food as neutral as you can, not changing anything about what you eat or how you eat or the timing that you eat. Just simply take a week or two to track your food as neutrally as you can. Draw any conclusions that you can from that and compare it to average or compare it to the targets that you might get from me or from a more robust macro calculator, if that's what you want to look at. That would be the first step. Like, I think the frame of mind and like how you're coming at this is really a skill too, just flexing that side of your brain that it's like, it's a neutral approach. It's just information. and we can go from here.
Yeah. I had this conversation with a client recently too, talking about their weight and how they got on the scale one day and they were finally at this place where it was just a number and it was just information. And to me, that was so exciting because it's possible for people to get to a place where numbers are just numbers and you can use it as a tool and it doesn't have to have that control over you.
You know, it is just a really amazing day when even the most, like the most, I don't even know how to, you know, these clients, they have so much wrapped up in their scale weight. They will never step on the scale. It triggers them so much. But the day that they're able to, and it doesn't happen for everyone. I mean, if a client doesn't want to weigh themselves during our 6 months together in my coaching relationship, they don't. Like they may step on it once so I can help them calculate their macros accurately. But a lot of times they just give me an estimate and that's totally fine. But the really amazing transformational stories are the ones where people are reclaiming that number back for themselves and it's not triggering for them at all. It doesn't matter if they get on at the doctor's office. It doesn't matter if they get on at home. It doesn't rule them anymore.
Mm. Yes. I love that. So for anybody listening, especially some of my clients who feel like that is so far-fetched, just know you hear it from me, but now you're hearing it from another amazing dietitian. Like it's possible. We see it. It's possible for you to get to that space where you're not controlled with the numbers. So, so good to talk to you. Where can our listeners find you and learn more?
So the best place to find me is on Instagram at EmilyFieldRD. So that's where I guess I would put the most general macro tracking tips and nutrition education there. But EmilyFieldRD.com has a lot more. So as you know, with Instagram, we can only share so much and have limited character length on our captions. And sometimes we have to keep things really simple, but we have a ton of resources on EmilyFieldRD.com through blogs and courses and the services that I kind of mentioned here too.
And we will be sure to link all those in the show notes. So before we leave, we've got to do a rapid fire. So are you ready?
Okay. Yes.
Ready. Favorite podcast or book right now?
Oh my God. A pop culture one that I can't remember. I am pop culture junkie on podcasts. It's like my zone out time. So pretty much like, I think it's probably H3H3, which is like a YouTube specific one.
I've never heard of that one. Have you heard of Smartless? Yeah. Smartless with Jason Bateman and I don't remember who was all in it. That's kind of a fun one.
I'd probably like that.
Okay. Sweet or salty?
Salty.
Something you want less of in 2021?
Comparing to other people.
Whatever the fancy word for that is. Yeah. Love it. So what's something you want more of in 2021?
I'm really working on moving towards more sustainable products. So that might mean like cleaning products, beauty products.
Oh, that's so hard.
Stuff like that. It is hard, household products, but that's the point. Like that is what I'm doing.
Love it. And then last thing, what's the best thing that's happened to you this week? It's been a week.
It's been a week. But I will say that there was
a good thing that we moved this interview to Thursday instead of Monday.
Let's not forget that I had a crazy Monday and had to move this podcast. And that has been how the whole week has went. But I did get lost on a walk today with my dog. And it's actually kind of peaceful to be out with nobody around the lakes in Minneapolis. Everything's frozen here and it's really quiet. And I guess I'd say that that is something that I love, my one-on-one time with her and, you know, just with myself and my thoughts is kind of like my meditation in the morning.
And the irony of a busy week where you get lost. It's like, of course you get lost.
Of course. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Emily, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
You. All right. Have a good one.
I personally am so inspired by Emily and I'm so grateful for her and also you for taking the time out of your day to listen and to have an open mind. Recognize that with nutrition and health, there is no black and white, one size fits all. And I hope you take away from this episode and start to challenge yourself on how you can start to look at food more neutral. Maybe that means having that hard conversation with yourself of working with a coach who can help you work past some of those barriers, whether it's a negative mindset, looking at foods as good versus bad, or whatever it is for you to help you stop spinning your wheels to finally reach your goals in a way that is healthy, sustainable, and ultimately in a way that feels right for you. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to screenshot, share, tag us on Instagram at FitFriendsHappyHour and at EmilyFieldRD. As always, leave us a review and subscribe so that you don't miss out on new episodes and expert interviews that drop every Monday. And if you want to continue the conversation, join us over on our Facebook group linked in the show notes. Talk to you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Fit Friends Happy Hour. If you liked this episode, don't forget to share it with a friend. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher. You can also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Fit Friends Happy Hour. Talk to you next time.